Hey guys, it's Emma
and Shannon,
and welcome back to our podcast, She's an Engineer. So happy International Women in Engineering Day. So hopefully the day you're listening is June 23rd, which is International Women in Engineering Day. And as you all know, we are a Females in Engineering podcast. And today we also have a special guest, Tiffany, who is our friend from undergrad. We all went to the University of Pittsburgh together. We even lived together for some years. And Tiffany is currently a new product development engineer within the plastics industry. So Tiffany, I don't know if you want to give a brief introduction on yourself.
Hi, I'm Tiffany. That's what I do. I'm a new product development engineer in plastics, and I have a chemical engineering degree, like Emma said, from the University of Pittsburgh. That's about it.
Yeah, I think she's gone into more depth in previous episodes, so I'll put in the description some of the episodes she's also been co-host on. So, yes. Okay, so today we're really going to just talk about the International Women in Engineering Day, why it started, and the history of it, as well as the history of the society that founded International Women in Engineering Day, which was the Women's Engineering Society, and going into also the role of women engineers during particularly World War I. It was the catalyst for the founding of the Women's Engineering Society. So I will start us off. So what is International Women in Engineering Day? So actually, only globally, only 16.5% of engineers are women. This year is the 9th International Women in Engineering Day, which is also called INWED, which is organized by the Women's Engineering Society, also abbreviated as WES. It's an international day that aims to empower women in engineering around the world when they are still hugely underrepresented in their profession. So each year, the International Women in Engineering Day has a theme. So this year it is Make Safety Seen, and you're welcome to send in submissions to the International Women in Engineering Day page, which I will also put a link to down below, and showing your contribution or showing your Make Safety Seen. And last year in 2022, it was Imagine the Future. And on that page, you can also find pictures from other women engineers around the world who are showing their Imagine the Future. And this date was also chosen because that's the date that the Women's Engineering Society was founded, on June 23rd, 1919. And we'll talk more about that day later. So the history of International Women in Engineering Day, it began in the United Kingdom in 2014 as a national campaign from the Women's Engineering Society, since that was originally founded in the UK. And since then, it's grown enormously, and it received UNESCO patronage in 2016, and it went global the following year in 2017. So it was originally launched because it was celebrating the Women Engineering Society's 95th anniversary. And then in 2017, it became international because there was a lot of interest and enthusiasm that was developed by the international audience and participants in previous years. And so International Women in Engineering Day was born to enable the celebration of women in engineering to become global.
And now to dive into the society that founded National Women in Engineering Day. The society is Women's Engineering Society, or WES. So WES is an English charity founded in 1919 at the end of World War I, when women who had been employed in technical fields found it difficult, if not impossible, to continue working as engineers, as many of the men who went off to war came back home. A change in law caused women engineers to return to their home, but some other women in the civil service and legal professions were able to keep their jobs. And so the women engineers returning to their homes led to the establishment of WES by pioneering and influential women. WES has tirelessly worked for over 100 years to ensure equality for women in engineering. Today, WES's mission is to support women in engineering to fulfill their potential and support the engineering industry to be inclusive. WES has three different pillars. The first one is about women, so they want to support women to achieve their potential as engineers, applied scientists, and leaders, and to reward excellence. The next pillar is education, and they want to encourage and promote the education, study, and application of women in engineering. And then the last pillar is sustainability. So they work with organizations and influencers to promote gender diversity and equality in the workplace and sustain the historic legacy and future effectiveness of the Women's Engineering Society.
WES has some really interesting founders, so we're going to talk a little bit about them. In the First World War, which was 1914 to 1918, many opportunities were created for women to develop and demonstrate their skills in the engineering field. That is how Caroline Hazlitt and Margaret Partridge first became engineers in adulthood, and they became leading lights and people in WES. Yet, if we really look at WES's history and their records, the society's founding involved women from an even earlier generation. WES's Memorandum of Association of June 1919 was in fact signed by seven women raised in the Victorian era. Rather than being independent professionals, they encountered engineering through a family business or having the wealth and leisure to try out new technologies. There was a whole range of social classes that could be found in these founders, from landed title holders to former mill workers. There's more details on these women that came together to sign WES's founding documents that can be uncovered in the Society's archives at the Institution of Engineering and Technology. But we're going to just give you a glimpse of some of their lives and the motivations that was written in The Woman Engineer, which is their house journal. It's now digitized to be searched back to 1919 if you'd like to take a look at that.
Yeah, so the first person who is listed in the memorandum is Lady Eleanor Shelley Rolls of Monmouth, Trefynwy in Wales. So like her brother Charles Rolls of the Rolls-Royce family, she was an enthusiast for automobiles, but also other exciting new means of transport. With her spouse, Sir John Shelley Rolls, she reveled not only in hot air ballooning, but experimenting with planes before the First World War made aeronautical adventures more routine.
The second woman is Catherine Parsons. Catherine Parsons came into engineering as the spouse of honorary Charles Parsons. From the 1880s, the Parsons family played a major part in the Tenside Engineering Society. Catherine was clearly Charles' close collaborator in inventing the steam turbine that transformed power generation on land and at sea. In 1919, she was the first woman to be made an honorary fellow of the Northeast Coast Institution of Engineers and Shipbuilders, recognizing thereby her distinct personal contribution.
Briefly a student of mechanical sciences at Cambridge University, Rachel Parsons was far more educated in engineering than her parents, Catherine and Charles. When the First World War broke out, like her mother, Rachel recruited and trained women to munitions factory work. Faced with legislation in 1919, which obliged women to cede work to men returning from war, the Parsons promoted WES's founding. Rachel was its first president.
Another woman that was listed on the memorandum was Margaret Robotham, who also studied at Cambridge before World War I, taking her mathematics training initially into private school teaching in England and Canada. Her practical mechanical aspirations, however, led her to qualify as a car motor engineer in 1913. She returned home to the UK to pursue engineering in support of the war, becoming a superintendent at the Galloway Car Company in Scotland. She had a varied career thereafter, serving on the Wes Council continuously until 1944.
Another founder, Margaret Moore, worked closely with her civil engineer spouse, Sir Ernest. They engaged jointly in a various large-scale construction enterprises on London's tunnel systems and further afield in Chile and China. During the First World War, she helped to organize women's munitions work and undertook extensive relief work for lathe operators. In Wes's early years, Margaret was one of the first philanthropic benefactors that helped maintain its solvency.
Unlike other Wes founders, Laura Annie Wilson started life without privilege, wealth, or education. She was a textile worker in West Yorkshire. She engaged in suffragette protests while co-managing an engineering business with her spouse, George Wilson. In the First World War, she introduced key measures to support the dietary welfare of women factory workers, for which she was awarded an MBE, or a Member of the Order of the British Empire, similar to being knighted. Later, Laura Annie developed her own building construction business.
And the last Wes founder that we're going to talk about today is Janetta Mary Ornsby of Newcastle on Tyne. She was a spouse of a mining engineer, Robert Ornsby, and also likely an associate of Lady Parsons, also known as Catherine Parsons.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great to learn more about these trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Now to get into the history of Wes a little bit more. So Wes is inspired by the engineering opportunities that the World War One brought to women, especially in the manufacturing industries. The Wes was established to actively pursue engineering careers. Influenced by the women's suffrage movement, Wes adopted the same colors for its logo in honor of the sacrifices women had to make to win the vote only a year before, 1918. Wes became a legally recognized organization the day after Sex Disqualification Removal Act in 1919 was passed in December. The act was intended to protect the rights of women wishing to remain in or access education and the workplace. Although never strongly enforced, it was a significant change that gave hope and encouragement to women who wanted to pursue a career outside of the home in peacetime.
Many of Wes's founders had been involved in war work during the First World War. Their experiences of running and managing factories, working the shop floors, design studios, workshops, and engine sheds gave them experiences and skills unavailable during peacetime. Some examples of the things that they did in the UK specifically, because that's where Wes was founded. They worked in the Royal Aircraft Factory in Hampshire, which is now the Farnborough Air Sciences Trust and Museum. There they designed and built aircraft for the Royal Flying Corps. Women were in the workshops as carpenters and made airframes. They were welders and built parts for engines, says Dr. Graham Rood, a retired aeronautical engineer who looks after the museum's archives. There would have been women working in the scientific departments and in the administration, he adds. A large number of women were in the drawing offices producing plans on how to build airplanes. These plans then went out to the furniture factories to build fuselages. But women weren't what we'd call engineers now. They were more like technicians, and they were skilled artisans. Women were restricted to a lower grade tasks because their training opportunities were not available to them before the war. They were barred from apprenticeships, so the traditional route into engineering was closed off to them. As the war progressed and it became clear that it would not be over quickly, training for women was developed. In 1915, Loughborough Technical School became a training center for munitions workers, most of whom were women. Among the short courses they offered were gauge making, draftsmanship, welding, pattern making, and aero engine testing. During the war, the school trained 1,338 women, almost twice as many as it did men.
Wow, that's a lot of women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about what women did in America during World War One, or the work of women engineers during World War One in the U.S. So while America's education system continued to boom heading into the early 20th century, it remained a sphere largely inaccessible to women. But this changed when a number of new programs rose to prominence from 1870 to 1910, like education, business, the liberal arts, home economics, and engineering. This development boosted female participation in higher education. These factors converged in 1914 at the start of World War I. So the Allies sought technological advantage throughout the war effort, and women were integral to many of these developments. With male employees leaving in droves for the front lines, women quickly filled growing vacancies and were even awarded government contracts more readily.
After the war, the field of women working these more technological jobs changed quite a bit. The restoration of the Pre-War Practices Act in 1919 forced women to give up their posts in favor of the returning men. Many felt this to be unfair, and while most women went back to domestic duties, a small number decided to take advantage of the training the war had given them and carry on as engineers. The WES provided invaluable support to these women, many of whom were the only female engineers in their factories or firms. So the Restoration of Pre-War Practices Act also was strictly enforced by trade unions, and companies who attempted to keep these women on as engineers were often prosecuted. So it's really hard for women to continue their work in engineering and science fields. And one last quote I wanted to state is that women in factories, munitions, and any technical roles were thrown out. They were at a loss. So the Women's Engineering Society was established to enable women to get degrees and remain in these technical roles.
Yeah. So I guess all in all, it's important to celebrate International Women in Engineering Day, not only to support the women engineers that we have right now, but also to, I guess, remember and commemorate those who have trailblazed before us. So like the women who founded the Women's Engineering Society, like Lady Eleanor Shelley Rolls and Catherine and Rachel Parsons and Laura Annie Wilson, to name a few, just to remember like what they've done for us. Because if not for many of these women, and if not for many of the other women that we've talked about in our other episodes before us, we might not have had the opportunity to receive the education that we did, and to have the, I guess, the ability to even consider working in the engineering workforce.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And although this organization and International Women in Engineering Day was founded in England, I'm glad this is getting more traction worldwide, and they're already on their 9th International Women in Engineering Day.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys do something to celebrate. And also you can join the Society of Women Engineers as well, which you can join as a postgrad also. I know it's a quite predominant undergraduate association, but there are many things you can do as, I guess, like alumni of schools within the Society of Women Engineers.
Yay. Yes. Happy International Women Engineering Day.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you learned a lot about the history of this day and Women Engineering Society and the role of women in World War One. So thank you, Tiffany, again for being on the podcast. And I guess we will see you guys again in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.